Hello and welcome to The Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm Jan McCarthy with Entrepreneurial Voice, and we're broadcasting live from SkidRowStudios.com, Real Radio, on the internet, downtown, and we are here every Tuesday at 11 a.m., and we're here to talk about what it's like to be an entrepreneur, and this is The Life of an Entrepreneur. We'll be sharing tips and resources and just conversation about that daily life. And if you have any questions, you can call in. The number is 1-800-893-9562, and we would love to hear from you. And today I'm very, very excited. I am interviewing Deshelle McKillian. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay, great. And she is a fashion stylist, and we're going to find out a lot about how she got started and what her life is like since she became an entrepreneur. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's really great to have you here. So tell me, you're a fashion stylist. Tell us what that involves.
So I am a fashion stylist, and I work mostly with musicians, and it involves getting their clothes, their wardrobe for performances, photo shoots, whatever events they have coming up. So that's pretty much the core of it.
And so, and you do a whole lot more, which we'll get into later in the conversation. You're multi-talented in many different areas. But so when you were growing up, did you just always had an affinity for fashion?
Yes. I come from a family of women that just love to shop. So I've always had that innate talent for just like clothes and style. I feel like putting everything together always excited me. And growing up, I never saw a career in fashion. I always wanted to be a pediatrician, but my family looked at me and said, no, girl, you're going to be a fashion stylist or something. That would have led me on a whole different path.
Well, that is really interesting because, you know, a lot of times you hear the stories where I really wanted to be in fashion. I wanted to be a designer. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. Or something artistic and creative, and you've got the family going, no, you need to be a doctor, a lawyer, you mm-hmm. know, that kind of thing. One of those professional type of careers, which they're all good. But if that's not your passion, it's not really always the way to go. But mm-hmm. that somehow feels a little safer than to go off on something that's a bit more creative. So I love that you had the support early on. And so I bet you were the girl in school that everybody said, Deshelle, what should I do with this? What shoe should I wear? What?
Yeah, does looking this go back, with this? I was best dressed, voted best dressed for my high school, you know, the senior when they vote for everything. I was best dressed. I can remember passing around a design book with my friends where we just kind of like sketched all of the fashion stuff that we would have loved to make. I was like rhinestoning belt buckles and headbands and
before
all that
stuff. Before it was popular,
before
right?
Before it was popular. Making handbags out of like old denim jeans and just always been mixing creativity with fashion, but I never knew it was a career path.
So so did you, after you graduated from high school, did you go to school for something else or what did you do?
Yeah, after I graduated from high school, I went to UCLA and I was pre-med. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in psychobiology and I was just on the path to become a pediatrician. I just surrounded myself with a lot of pre-med students and I was always volunteering at the hospitals and, you know, really on that path to become a doctor. And I didn't think about anything else until after I graduated, when I took the MCATs, I was just kind of like, I need a break. It was such an extremely hard 4 years of just studying.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, it's like you can't miss a beat at UCLA because if you miss one class, it sets you back a whole year to graduate. It's not like you have to be extremely on it. So after I took the MCATs, I was always working in clothing, and I was working at a clothing store called The Vanity Room. And there I was doing the buying, the merchandising, doing sales, kind of doing everything at that store. And somehow I just never went back to like apply for medical school and all that stuff. But that was like that intermission.
Well, it's
that led me in the fashion path.
Very clear with the way you dress and just what you exude, that you are loving what you're doing. And so nice that I mean, really working with women entrepreneurs, I see a lot of people who don't get it that soon. And they do go through the whole thing going, okay, I wish that I had actually done what I really wanted to do all along, you know. So it's fantastic that you've been able to, that you were able to tap into that right away, that you had that support encouraging you, and that you had gotten the experience too, to even realize that this could be possibly a career path. So you're working at the Vanity Room, and you're knowing that you're just loving all of being around all these clothes, mm-hmm. and everything. So what was the next step? So when did you have that second aha moment of I can take this in a different direction and work for myself?
I would say the entrepreneur mentality came shortly after I went to Europe on a fashion tour with Cal State Northridge's fashion design program.
So did you go and take classes then after getting your degree at UCLA?
Yes, I took a class at El Camino College, a fashion merchandising class, just because I was like, if I'm going to pursue fashion, and I was currently a assistant buyer at a store called Planet Funk. Mm-hmm. It's like, I kind of need to be more knowledgeable of fashion. And I took a class, a fashion merchandising class at El Camino. And the professor also worked at Cal State Northridge. And she said, I have one more spot in my fashion merchandising class. I'm taking a group of students to Europe. Are you interested in going? And I'm like, yeah, never been out of the country, never done anything like that. And I literally quit my job to go on a month-long tour to Europe and Italy and experience that.
This is giving me chill bumps, because really it was that kind of defining moment of you had an opportunity to say, no, I'm going to play it safe and I'm going to keep working and I'll figure it out, and or jumping like just full force into this, I don't know what's going to happen with this, but I know that something really amazing can come out of it.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know about, you know, something's going to come from this. I just knew that it was my opportunity to go overseas. And for years, I begged my cousin, who's a guitar player and bass player for, you know, all these musicians, to take me on tour with him. And so this was like my opportunity to go overseas and be just like immersed within fashion of, you know, we're going to fashion houses like Dolce & Gabbana and, you know, getting to meet the designers and speak with them. So I was like, oh yeah, I definitely need to do this.
Yeah, but not everybody would have. It still feels like such a risk. And there had to be a certain, maybe you didn't consciously say it, but inside you knew this is going to change my world. Mm-hmm. This is going to open up a whole slew of information and education and excitement and stimulus, mm-hmm. creative stimulus.
Oh, and it definitely did.
You know, in my head. I mean, there's something like we just know. And so you listen to your intuition and you took a risk. It was a risk. Mm-hmm. Quit your job. I mean, you know, when you're older, maybe you're not as worried about whether you're going to get another job or not. But you knew, you just took your destiny in your own hands. Mm-hmm. And I really admire that. And I also encourage that, you know, that even if nothing had come out of it, it would have been what a great opportunity. And mm-hmm. to say yes to those opportunities. And
say yes.
and a lot of people don't. So mm-hmm. so on this tour, you had a blast. You learned a lot. And yes. So did you say, oh, I could do this. I could be a designer. I could be a fashion stylist. How did that come about?
I don't think I was conscious about being a fashion stylist or designer just yet. When I came back, because I quit my job, I was looking for a job for like maybe 2 to 3 months. And I was working at a vintage store, just part-time. And I could not find a job. And it was like 2008. I remember the recession. And I always look back on this.
Did you say, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have gone?
I was just like, man, I can't find a job. What am I going to do? Because I came from a corporate job, a like really good, buying job to not being able to find anything. And I ended up, you know, kind of back in the store. And to me, it felt like a demotion to myself.
Mm-hmm. Step back.
Yeah, step back. But I just was like, okay, I am in a vintage store. How can I take this and make it work for myself? So I started an online vintage store called Space Light Vintage. And I use my two best friends as models. I source vintage clothes and put them on my website. I built it myself and did all the photos myself. And it was just like this great collaborative effort between my friend, my two best friends who are also, they have like the best style as well. And I was just like, this is
You all are a force to be reckoned with when you go out, aren't you?
Definitely. And that's exactly what it was. Like, people knew us for our style. And it's like, I have all these vintage clothes and I'm surrounded by this. This is what I love to do. Why not, you know, start my own? And that's kind of what I did. And within that, I was like, okay, putting the clothes together, the accessories, the directing, all of that is so much fun to me. This was like an amazing time. This is the best way you could spend with friends. And I said, okay, what is exactly am I doing? And I remember when I was 19, I assisted a fashion stylist named Inanna Bantu, who went to my church, and she just one day called me up, hey, can you come assist me on the shoot? And I was like, oh, sure. And I didn't really know what she was doing. I didn't know what a fashion stylist was, or I just knew I was working on a music video and there was tons of clothes. I didn't quite understand it yet. So I emailed Inanna and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing fashion styling. I want to know more about what you do. Like, can I just come assist you more? And she brought me on to several of her projects. And that within that, I just was like, okay, I know that I love to do this. I want to know more about it. And how can I continuously work in this field? And that's when I started, you know, putting myself out there and just taking, researching different stylists within Los Angeles and randomly emailing them. And some of them were like, okay, I do need an assistant. Can you come on? And that's just kind of how it all started.
Well, that's a great, great story. And so some of the steps that you took, the action steps that you took are so important too, because again, saying yes to that opportunity to go and assist. And some people might have said, well, got a college degree and I've worked and, you know, come out with, I need to be paid a lot of money and kind of shot themselves in the foot. But you gave yourself that opportunity to learn. I love that you asked information, that you found someone that could help guide you and share their experiences with you so that you kind of knew what was required to get into this. So those are so important. You know, sometimes you find that there are people who want to just skip that. They're looking for the shortcut, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just want to be an entrepreneur. So they just start trying to do that before they really have the knowledge and some of the key information. Now, and I've asked this question of my guests before, but I always think that it's really interesting. And you sound like you're not afraid and to do research and that you really go out and get it. But was there someone who said it's one thing to say, I want to be a fashion stylist? And I don't know exactly what that involves, but you had to build relationships, I'm sure, with different clothing companies to be able to get their fashions and whether you borrow it, whether you have to purchase it at a low cost. I don't know if you have to put down deposits, you know, but, you know, that's kind of a big deal. So there is a financial investment. There is a level of trust with the different designers or the different stores who are allowing you to take their clothes, because you can't just shuffle someone with the level that you're doing. You can't just shuffle someone into a regular store and say, okay, let's try on all these clothes and I'll tell you what works. You know, I'm sure with the level that you're doing, you have to bring those clothes to them and they're looking to you to already have these outfits put together and they don't have to make decisions. There's a lot to go into that. And so maybe by working, you gain some of that knowledge, but even starting your own company and all of the hats that you have to wear, like with paying taxes and keeping books and legally making it a company and the marketing and the selling and the styling. I mean, you're doing it all. You're a one-woman show.
I was going to say that. Yeah, you know, within, I would say, the last 5 years, it's always building and I'm always growing and I'm always trying to figure out how to make my business work for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I worked for a costume designer and I was really fortunate to just be kind of thrown into like styling Fergie or styling Estelle without having any experience. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but I had that innate talent for style. So they trusted me. I don't know why, but they trusted me to dress these amazing artists.
Well, one look at you and we understand why,
on their behalf. So it's like you have that talent, you have that experience, but that's one hand. But the other hand is running your business. And so you have to be extremely organized, like dealing with the budget, make sure you don't go over budget and keep all your receipts and know how to handle paperwork and do expense reports. You know, all that was a learning process for me because I wasn't exposed to that and I didn't go to school for it or anything. So that's where I feel like, you know, going to UCLA and being a student where I had to do so much research with whatever comes my way, I'm just like, okay, I need to do the research. I found books on styling and, you know, really researched the paperwork that was out there for stylists and adapted that for myself and, you know, rewrote the words to make it work. Because you have to have a contract as a stylist when working with people, because just like any business, they might not like the way you do something and then they don't want to pay you, which I've ran into a lot too. So you have to have the creative side, but if you don't have the business side, then it's really, really hard.
So what would you say? It sounds like you're very organized and you're a good researcher, which are two qualities that are very important for being a successful entrepreneur. What are some of the other qualities that you have, the other traits, the other strengths that you have that you feel have really contributed to your success?
I would say the main quality that you need to have as a stylist is to be able to work well with people. So I've worked with from people and camps from Lil Wayne to the Black Eyed Peas and, you know, everybody in between that from, hey, I just work with Lionel Richie and, you know, then I'll work with doing up and coming artists like Chanel West Coast. And I just feel like within all of that, if you can be like the best stylist ever and you can be able to pull whatever, but if you aren't open to their ideas and collaborating and knowing how to be a good communicator, then all of that just goes down the toilet. And I think that's the number one skill that I've learned over the years. It's just be myself, be open to their ideas. Maybe it's not what I would have in mind, but they're paying me for a service to do. And it's representing them. So I need to work with their ideas and bring myself to the table as well. But
to honor what they have, but also what they want, but mm-hmm. also what they want needs to look incredibly good.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't even know what they want that I could bring to the table, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's really, really important and that you're recognizing that within your customer, what they need from you is super important. So really understanding who your ideal customer is and also understanding what they want. And like you said, communication is really, really key. And you kind of either have that. You can study communication and you can study people, but there's something just inside of being able to listen and like you said, find out what they want or help them discover what they want and then pulling all that together and making them look good with it. So
yes.
So that's really great. I do want to let any of our listeners know that if they'd like to call in and ask myself or Deshelle a question.
Yeah, please call in.
Yeah, call us. The number is 1-800-893-9562. We love to talk to you too. We love talking to each other, but we also love talking to you as well. Where are the different directions that this can go in terms of being a stylist? And is there Are there other plans that you have in ways to expand?
Yes. So, I mean, as a stylist, you could not just work with musicians, you can work on television shows, you can work on films that can go into costume design. And, you know, all of it, the basis is fashion. But, you know, I don't have the technical skills as a designer, but for some clients, I do make special custom pieces, or I work with other designers to make these one-of-a-kind pieces for performances. So, you know, there's a wide array, and I don't just work on one project. So I helped, last year I was helping the band Wallpaper do their tour merchandise, and that involved everything from designing to, you know, actually making these denim vests with great patches and pins on them, and, you know, just coming up with like new innovative ideas that we could market them, and like who their audience was and like what these kids want. And
so
then
used to it just be would be t-shirts or hats maybe that you could buy, and so now are you saying that there's a whole nother line of clothing kind of products that you can get associated with it?
New line of that, you know, kids want from their artist, their favorite artists. That is that they to be able to put like an iPhone case with your favorite band on there, and the like beer koozies. Like for some reason, sure, they love like just those small things. They love like keychains, rings, accessories. Like we created a denim vest. It didn't have to say Wallpaper, but we had like great patches. And the pins, where that's like a limited edition piece that kids would want to wear on a regular basis, but they're supporting their favorite artist. So, you know, I think that music is changing. The kids that are coming up now, like in the internet age, they want something different. So you have to combine stuff that they would use on an everyday basis with something that's fashion forward and that supports their favorite band. They can be like, hey, I'm such a big fan. I have this from my favorite artist.
Well, that's very innovative. And of course, you have to constantly be innovating your products and your services to keep up with the times and to keep that interest fresh and recognize what's going to sell and what's going to move. Do you go in, like if you were styling this particular band, do you go in and say, hey, you know, if you want to, so this almost would make you be like a marketing person too, right? But if you want to create more sales, or what if we designed a vest for you or a jacket or tennis shoes or whatever, do you go in and suggest that, or do they come to you and say, hey, we're thinking about adding more product to our line and we want to do the best? How does that collaboration work?
With this particular band, Wallpaper, they were going on Warped Tour, which is, I don't know if you know, but it's like a huge, it used to kind of be like rock and roll, but now it's expanded to like pop and reggae, and it's just huge now. And it is like, it's sponsored by Vans. It's the Vans Warped Tour. And, you know, like, it's a huge festival that travels around America, and now I think they're in Europe as well. So I went the year before and I saw with one of the artists, G-Eazy, and I saw the kids that were there, and they were just buying and buying and buying stuff. And
they'll buy like, anything that you have as long as you have it.
I'll buy it, you know, yeah. $10, I'll buy it. They just wanted that piece of the artist and something that they could take back. So I said, hey, to the band Wallpaper, you guys are going on Warped Tour. I was just there. This is like your chance to do great numbers with your merch and really make an impact on your fan base. I would love to collaborate with you on ideas of merchandise and different things that we can sell that will, you know, set you apart from what other people are selling. Because usually it is just like the t-shirts and the pins and the patches. It's very limited. But I, you know, you can do so many different things that just gives you more of an opportunity to sell and make money off of your merch and leave your customers, your fans with like something that they have and that they're going to Instagram, and people are going to be like, hey, what's that? And be attracted to the music and to what you have to offer as an artist.
That's fantastic. I mean, you really you've taken the idea of a stylist and just really expanded it completely.
Mm-hmm. I would say I'm not just a stylist, and that's the title. It's hard to explain to people everything that I do and show them that. You know, like when I first started touring with Lil Wayne, a year later, I was pitching show ideas and stage design to like management and to the MD and, you know, for like all of these different artists. So, you know, I'm just a creative person. I work mostly in with fashion and styling, but, you know, like at the end of it, I think that I'm just creative and I think outside of the box, and I have the ability to just bring not only the fashion, but the marketing and the PR and tapping, yeah, you know, into these different fields to give, you know, working with musicians, sometimes they don't have time to think about that. And then the people that work for them in these positions are so used to doing the same things over mm-hmm. and over and over. So it takes someone like me that's not really in music to come with new and fresh ideas because I have a different perspective.
Yeah, but really understanding music, you've really created quite a niche for yourself. And also, you know, it's always important to kind of know what our secret sauce is and how we stand out, what differentiates us from others. And so the fact that you have this ability, we'll have to come up with some really, really cool, creative title for mm-hmm. you. I was over at Ace, which mm-hmm. is near us, and they all have very creative titles. And I can't think of any of them right now, but they're really incredibly creative titles. So maybe we need to come up with a yes. really creative title for you, because there's so many ways. I mean, first of all, you're creating additional, and these are important things for entrepreneurs to know, that you don't have to just stay locked in that one box, you know, that there are many ways to have multiple streams of revenue and to still using your own abilities that you already have, your own tools, your own abilities, your own resources. So it's not like you have to come up with a whole nother business or anything. You can integrate all of those things within to expand your business and grow your business.
And I would say that's key as an entrepreneur to, unless you have like one thing that you just focus on, like when you're just a creative person and like that's your business. For me, just like as a stylist, it doesn't start with just being a fashion stylist. It's,
right.
you know, working with people. And, you know, I'm always on to taking different projects. Even if I have no experience in it, I'm just up for the challenge of, you know, I know that I could bring something to the table.
So I love that level of confidence. And that's something that I experience a lot, where people are afraid when they don't know. Where do you think that confidence comes in to say, even if I don't know it, I'm going to try it. I think there's something I can bring to the table.
I mean, I would just say I've never been experienced in, you know, like anything that had the traditional, you know, restrictions to it. I just went for it, like going to, for instance, just like getting accepted into UCLA. They said you had to have like a 4.5 GPA. You have to have like perfect score on the SATs, you know, all of this stuff. And I knew like my GPA was probably like a 3.6. I had the AP classes, but I did like okay in them. It wasn't like A++++. And I didn't have, you know, the requirements that they, you know, everybody says that you have to get into a school like that. And I still applied and it didn't stop me. And somehow, I think just being like a well-rounded person, I got in and I was like, I'm going to do this, you know? That's just kind of been, you know, even with existing the costume designer, Marco, I didn't have experience in costume design, but I was like, hey, I'm just going to do it. And, you know, somehow it'll work out.
And you got on the phone and you called the other fashion stylist whenever you were thinking about going into that career mm-hmm. and that direction. So, so even though we're all afraid, I think what you're saying, even though we're all afraid or even though we may not know how to do it, so what?
You just have to push through the barriers. And mm-hmm. I think that's it's the hardest thing to do when you are like faced with people that you don't know, and you yourself might feel limited because you don't have the experience or the connections, or you've never done it before. But
that doesn't mean you can't.
There's always one person that will take the risk with you, and several people have taken that risk with me just to bring me on, and I can't say I don't know why, but they have done it. And it just led me to the next place that I was supposed to be in my career.
Well, your perseverance and your determination and your enthusiasm and your willingness to, like you said, you're open to your clients, and that really shines through, though, and that's part of your brand and that's part of your strengths. And so I think that's why, you know, they figure, hey, you know what? We're going to make this happen. Some, we don't know how, and we don't know where, and all of those things, that we're going to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And like you said, even with the musicians, you know, they're focused on their music. They're not, and artists frequently are, you know, they're just focused on their particular art, and they're not that interested in how do you go out and sell it? How do you go out and promote it? And how do I bring customers in? They're just making their music, mm-hmm. and that's what makes them so good. If they were focused on all of those other things, they wouldn't be able to work on their genius work.
Exactly.
You know, and then you've got the managers and the agents. And like you said, a lot of times this formula works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's just stick to it.
Let's just stick to it. And they're busy. They got a lot going on. So trying to get creative with this individual band doesn't always feel like that they have the time or maybe the motivation or whatever. And so to have someone fresh coming in, being able to look at it, like you said, from a different perspective. And you found a problem, and you solved it. That they didn't even know they had, you know, perhaps. And so just being able for you to look at it and be able to create that. And I think that's really, really important. I was just talking with a friend today, and I wrote a blog about this too, about when I was at the car wash and they came up and noticed a scratch on the car. And they said, hey, would you like to get that fixed? Well, I didn't think they could get it fixed unless I took it to a body shop or something. And they told me to pay them whatever I thought it was worth, and they got the scratch out.
Wow.
You know, so they came and saw that I had a problem that I didn't necessarily know that I had, or that I had no idea how I could solve it without spending a lot of money. And that's exactly what you're doing with these bands when you are able to go in and present something new to them that can really benefit them, and just based on your keen observation at what's going on around. And sometimes we do get so focused ourselves that we're not able to think outside the bubble. You know, we're just kind of in it, mm-hmm. in the thick of it, and we can't look outside.
Yeah, I think for me, being on tour for so long, I was kind of doing a repetitive job as far as wardrobe. You kind of do the same thing every day. So I really got to just observe all of the different people and their roles, and thinking on another level as far as like what being a touring artist means. Because you have like the Black Eyed Peas, and they're selling out like 100,000 seated stadiums around the world and playing with, like, you know, these huge bands. And, you know, like, what does that mean? And how do artists, as the music industry is changing, how do the new artists get on that level and, you know, still build their brands? So I think, you know, just from my experience of being on tour, I have, you know, just observing all these different things, you know, I have the knowledge to present to like the new and up and coming bands, like, hey, this is how they do it. These are the people that they're affiliated with. This is kind of how your merchandise needs to look. This is what the price points needs to be like. And, you know, just giving them the knowledge that they probably aren't fortunate to have just by being exposed to bigger artists.
Right. Well, that's a could be a whole nother career in and of itself, right?
Consulting.
Consulting. So what do you want? I mean, what, when you see yourself growing, obviously you've created a lot of multiple streams of revenue, and you keep yourself active and busy, but are there other things that, I mean, you're talented in so many ways. What are the other things that you see yourself doing and expanding your name and it within your business?
Yeah, so I'm most excited about this, but this year is about building my brand, and I want to, started off putting jewelry out there under my name, which like Rihanna wore a pair of earrings, and it kind of sparked this whole the jewelry designer title for me. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm a jewelry designer now. But now it's about like building a brand of fashion, clothing and accessories that I'm really being led into the sustainable field. And, you know, it's really coming back full circle from taking the vintage items and making that modern to, you know, like what people would wear now, but the same aesthetic to it. And, you know, I think that I'm here to change the world, and my way to do that is through fashion and, you know, just taking a stance on, you know, what is sustainable fashion. And so now I've just kind of been doing a lot of research in that field before I actually produce anything. I really want to know who the, like where to source the right fabrics and who I can work with and the right pattern makers and the right, you know, building my team. But I really want to be, before I just used to put stuff out, now I want to be more aware of like building my brand and having it all written down on paper and who my target demographic is, where they shop, how much money they make a year, and, you know, being really specific about this before I, you know, put anything out anymore. So
yeah. Yeah.
Very excited about that.
Well, you brought up a key point that every entrepreneur needs to recognize too. And especially in your field, you do already have a team, but this is a different kind of team that you're talking about. But I think that it's great for everybody to, that's an entrepreneur, to recognize that you need a team. And it could be a team of pattern makers and clothing sources, or in your case for styling, it's like, who are the designers? That's part of your team. I don't know how big your car is and how many clothes you might have to take over, but you've got to have those resources to find out how to transport all of that. The team might be figuring out how to produce that contract or create that contract that's still going to be ironclad, and just making sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed to prevent problems later on and just to help you to run your business efficiently. And then there's also the team of support, having your cheerleaders, having your the people who help, you know, keep you, support you in whatever it is that you're doing. So that's important as well. So building that team is really a big, big key, because we like to think we're doing it all on our own.
Yeah,
and your business is you, but it's also, there's also your team behind you,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
that help to all make it happen and run smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
And building your brand is incredibly important as well. So there was something I was going to ask you about that, and I don't remember exactly where I was going to go because there were so many great things that you brought up, but I'm sure it'll probably come back to me at some point in terms of doing your clothing line and keeping it sustainable and also doing your jewelry line as well,
mm-hmm.
and building your brand. So if it comes to me, we'll interject it at some point.
Okay.
So you're busy girl. We work in the same building, and
yes.
and I've seen you late at night
along
with myself. How do you unwind? I mean, there's a lot of pressure on you, you know, especially when you work for yourself like this. So how do you unwind, and what do you do to help keep you creative?
You know, I think that you know, I'll have like no days off for like 3 weeks. But in the mornings, like I make sure to like go to the beach and run and, you know, kind of like stay active. But I think that the beach is my like serene place where I can take at least, you know, an hour and a half and rejuvenate myself and then go back. It's my happy place. Definitely. And, you know, meeting up with, I have a lot of friends that are entrepreneurs, and it's, you know, the slightest things that they might say to me that, you know, keep me going. So we might like break for getting coffee during the middle of the day. And, you know, like sometimes I'm at the office, I'm working, literally like working till like 2 a.m. 3 a.m. And it's just like, that is, you have to put in so much work to get things done. But like the little breaks that I have, like going to the beach or getting coffee with friends or, you know,
coming for a radio interview,
coming for a radio interview or, you know, going to a gallery, you know, just like quickly during the day, taking an hour to do that. I think it's the small things that I do to like help rejuvenate me and, you know, keep me creative. Cause sometimes it's hard to switch back and forth from, you know, I'm doing like a stack of paperwork this big and then the next job runs in where I need to, you know, instantly like switch my brain into like being creative again. And, you know, it's hard to make that transition. And sometimes your brain says, no, I want to stick with this, you know, the paperwork, not the creative.
My brain never says that.
Like, okay, what's the like best way? And I think it's just taking an hour for yourself, doing like a quick meditation to just kind of like clear your brain of what you were doing before so that you can transition into doing something creative.
Yeah, I agree. That's so, so important. I remembered what I wanted to talk to you about because you had said that you were wanting to put stuff down on paper, like your demographics and all of those kind of things. So did you do any of that before when you launched your business? Did you
Never.
Sit down and write any kind of plan? Never. Did you say, okay, in a year, this is where I want to be. I want to have 5 clients or anything. Did you ever put together any kind of plan?
Never. So this is the first time where I'm ready to take my business to the next level of what it can be. And I'm, you know, I have in mind of, you know, building a huge business for myself and not just kind of doing things on a small level. I want to, you know, make it really big and like really reach people. And I need, you know, the right resources to do that. So I think it's important to be specific. And in order to like know where you're going, now I'm more aware that I need that plan in place to take my business to the next level.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs will say if they had ever sat down and written a plan, that they would have never launched their business. No, that's really a big deal. But I think in our heads, even if we don't have that formal plan, there's some sort of, you know, sometimes it just does totally happen sort of organically, but you even had a plan like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. And, it'd be fun to travel with the band, you know, even talking to your cousin, that's kind of putting it out there.
Oh yeah. And you know, I didn't realize until this year that I used to literally at 16, 17, beg him like to take me on tour. And I was like, man, I ended up on tour like so many years later. And we can have a conversation about like, oh, how's your tour going? My tour is like this. And I'm like, it's completely wild, but it is putting it out there and somehow it comes back to you.
And it's also, what I hope everybody will take away from this a little bit is that a plan is just a plan. That doesn't mean that you can't take detours or that you can't change it up or add something to it. And it's kind of like taking a trip and saying, oh, I want to go here. And before you know it, you're over there. And that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but having goals, I do think it's important to set goals. And it's really up to you how much you want to stick to it or put it out there. But it does help you to stretch farther. And move, start taking action to move in that direction. So as long as we don't get too caught up in it or get too worried about it. I mean, some people are like, oh my gosh, I don't know where to start. And then they let that stop them. You know, it's okay. It's okay. Just start anywhere and start researching and putting it down. And it's okay to change it too.
Yeah.
But at least it gives you a direction of what you're trying to shoot for and what are the actions that you want to need to take to be able to get there. So that's a great way to go.
Yes.
And if you want to grow, then you do have to think kind of forward, excuse me, of what that direction is. Do you have a quote, excuse me, that motivates you?
My favorite quote that I kind of go off of, and it's one from my friend's mom, and her name is Veronica, and it's a quote, do what you love, love what you do, and do everything with love. And this is the reason why if I get a job, I wake up in the morning and I'm so excited. I'm just like, ready for the day. And I can't imagine working a job that I don't love what I do. Like, I get so excited and it's so much fulfillment for me to do my job. And whether it's like I'm designing my website for myself or working with whoever, it's so fulfilling to me. And I love it that it doesn't feel like work. Sometimes I'm like, I really get paid for this some days. It's just like, this is so cool. Like, I can travel. When I was on tour with the Peas, we literally traveled around the world. Wow. And, you know, my days off, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is a lifestyle. And
do you travel now? Like, do you go on tour now?
Now I'm really trying not to, but because I think that it's important
you've got so
to
many
be
things
in one place in order to build. Like, I can't do the things that I need to do as far as like building, you know, my brand, traveling like that anymore. And I love being a stylist here in LA and doing my jobs here and then traveling quickly for work and then coming back. Instead of kind of being on like 4 month long tours anymore. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. And also knowing what you want, knowing what your limits are, knowing what you want. And even having like you made that plan that you want to build your brand this year. And you're right. If you're on tour with somebody and you're on tour for 5 or 6 months, it's going to be very difficult to
keep hitting delays.
Yeah, and continuing to have those other relationships that will sustain you, you know, when the tour is over. So, so I think that's really wise, and it is. That's when you start doing that forward thinking about where you want to go and what you need to do that. And in order to do that, being on tour doesn't necessarily lend itself to what it is that you're trying to accomplish in the upcoming years. So.
And I would tell entrepreneurs and, you know, just creative people, whatever field that you're trying to get into, because, you know, I was going on tour and I quit two jobs because it wasn't fulfilling me anymore. And I knew that I wanted to do something else. So sometimes like the risk and the unhappiness and like the depression and all that stuff that you feel from doing a job that you don't love anymore, you just kind of have to say, okay, I'm done with this. Thank you for the experience. Thank you for everything. And move on to like what it is that you really, really, truly want to do. Because, you know, people spend so many years of their lives touring because it's easy and it's, you know, you just like kind of get into it. But if you don't really love that, and as a creative person doing something that you don't love, like I feel it in my gut that, oh man, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be doing this. To maybe it's going to be like an extreme struggle. And for me, you know, the last like 3 years, it's been a beautiful struggle, but I'm doing what I love. So you just kind of have to say, okay, I'm done with this, on to the next thing. And it's never easy, but you just have to, if you love it, you're just going to keep doing it and you're just going to keep building. And I think that being an entrepreneur, your business is always going to be growing. And if it isn't, you need to analyze the reasons why it's not and take action into seeing what those changes need to be to take your business to the next place or what your goals are.
How did you get so smart at to be so young?
Around women like you.
That's sweet. Thank you. Is there someone that you, let's see, we have a few minutes left, so we've got time to chat about this a little bit. Is there someone that has really inspired you that you've kind of has been like your mentor? Maybe not even your mentor, just somebody who really inspires you and that you look up to and say, oh, this is where I'd like to be. They're living their life the way they really should be living their life.
I've been really fortunate to be around like just so many amazing creative people, and just like they took me under their wing. And one I would say is the costume designer that I was telling you about that just kind of threw me on the road, Marco Maranti, because he is an amazing creative person. He's like a creative genius. He's so smart, so talented. Like I just see him construct like none other. And I'm like, my brain doesn't think like that, but he is the best at what he does. And so, you know, kind of being around that, and like he recently just did Britney Spears, her whole like tour wardrobe for like her Vegas performances, and they're extravagant. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to be around people like that. And then the designer Ashton Michael, who they're just so good at what they do. And, you know, they take it another step where it's not only being good at what you do, but like I've seen Ashton, you know, like pick apart his garments himself just so that the quality is top notch, and he's making it himself and he's doing everything himself. And it's like he's working 16 hours a day. So I've been exposed to those people that have just, and they've been in fashion for 10 to 15 years. And that's just kind of given me the opportunity, like for myself to know, like to do it with quality and to be the best at what you're doing.
So kind of just even seeing, I mean, you have such a great work ethic, and seeing their work ethic too, has really helped you to do that. Is there something that just really motivates you? Like, how do you motivate yourself every day to do what you do? I'm going to guess I know your answer, but I think it's important. I mean, especially on the days when it's hard.
Because a lot of days are hard. You know, I'm actually, I would say, I have such a great support system. Like, my parents are, like, my strength. And the days that I'm like, okay, I don't know if I could do this anymore, they're like, you have to. You know, you can do it. And they, I feel like they really push me. And I'm so grateful for that. And just being motivated by, like I said, I have a lot of friends that are entrepreneurs, not just in fashion, but, you know, kind of in all these different fields. And I see that their success takes, you know, them 10 to 15 years to be where they really want to be. And I think that that's motivating. On my darkest days, when I'm like, man, I don't have any clients this week, what am I supposed to be doing? And then I look up and they're doing something amazing. I'm like, okay, keep going, keep going.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, we all do have those dark days of did I make a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter how good it's going, and it's hard to sometimes to look back and look at not only all that we've accomplished, but having people that do inspire us, and that's helpful. And just looking at what we want to do, and knowing that we can accomplish that. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're almost about to wrap up, but you've known me long enough to know that I like to know what is your best business lesson, or what advice do you wish that you had been given when you first started out on this journey? So
my best advice would be to, you know, just be humble, put your ego behind you, because you always have something to learn and something to learn from someone else. And I've been, you know, like I've assisted a lot of stylists and done things where I'm like, oh my God, like, why am I picking up her daughter from school? Or, you know, just those kind of things. But at the end of the day, it taught me something, and that was to be like, okay, I'm a fashion stylist, not a personal assistant. And sometimes those lines blur, but there's always that lesson to be learned. So sometimes you're not doing exactly what you feel like you should be doing at that point in your career, but you have something to learn. And that's, I think, the best advice. You know, always be continuing to like learn something from every different experience. And always research, always collaborate with people who are better than you. You don't want to collaborate with people that are not good. You want to take the risk and, you know, ask the people that you look up to work with them so that you could get the best experience from them.
Oh, I think that's such great advice. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And sharing all of your vast knowledge with us. And I look forward to seeing your name as when I'm shopping and saying,
yes.
Oh, I knew her when. And look at my outfit. It's so cool. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. I got